Let us pray. Oh God, we come here today to gather together as your people. We do so with many things in the world causing us to lock up our hearts with fear and doubt. And yet we come here that you may stand among us and by your Spirit open those doors to believe and to know that you are inviting us to a gift of life completely transformed from the things of this world. Open our hearts that we might hear your voice speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what has your week been like? Yes, a whole week has passed since we gathered here or places like this on Easter Sunday to celebrate the greatest miracle in the history of the universe, the most significant day in our lives as followers of Jesus, even as human beings, a day which changed our destiny, which transformed even death itself. This week, many of us have gone back to our daily routines. Sometimes in the midst that all of all that goes on in our daily routines in the world, it is easy to forget this amazing victory of God's eternal love that was anything but routine. For whether we remember it or not, each day of our lives, there is one unmistakable truth that remains. Death has been conquered. God's love wins. And Christ is, not was, but Christ is risen. So what has your week been like? This week after Easter. I wonder sometimes what that week was like for Thomas. The week after Easter must have been rather strange for all of Jesus' disciples, but especially so for Thomas. Now, the week before Easter had been particularly traumatic for them all. They had begun that week with the shouts of Hosanna from the crowds, and by the end of that week, those shouts had been changed to crucify, crucify. And it had seemed as if their whole world had fallen apart with their master, Jesus, dead and lying in a tomb with a stone sealing it and guards standing by. But that Sunday, last Sunday, that first day of the week was different. The crowds had dispersed, the shouting and the noise had died down, and here the disciples were locked in their room out of fear. Everyone else had gone back to work if they could find it, hoping to make a denarii or two to put some food on the table and to pay their taxes to the Roman tax collector, because with the Romans, every day was like April 15th, you know. They had gone back to dealing with the kids, trying to fix the leaky hole in the thatch roof, get the mites out of their donkey's ear. There was always something that had to be done. But for Thomas and the 10 others, now that Judas was gone, well, the daily routine meant hiding out in this locked room. For now that the massive crowds had disappeared, it was going to be even easier for the authorities to spot them. And they knew that if even servant girls could identify Peter by a fire, then anyone would be able to identify them as followers of Jesus. And they would end up arrested like their master, or worse. So perhaps sitting cooped up in that house was just more than Thomas could take. And so, in spite of the danger on the streets, he has to get out for a moment. Why? Well, we're really not sure all these years later. Perhaps he just needed to get some fresh air. Perhaps he had to go out and scout the streets to see if it might be safe for the others to come out yet. Perhaps he had to go and scrounge up some food or get some fresh water because they were running out. The moment he was, perhaps was gone for even only a little while, the moment he walked back into that room on that Easter evening, he knew that everything had changed. For undoubtedly, he could see it in their eyes. Those worn-out, bloodshot eyes of the other 10, they were now filled with excitement. And the 10 of them shouted at Thomas, "We have seen the Lord!" "Oh, I get it," Thomas might have thought. "While I was out, y'all cooked up this cruel practical joke to play on old Thomas when he got back. Well, guys, I'm not falling for it." But Thomas, it's true, just like those seemingly hallucinating women had told us, Jesus is alive. We heard his voice. We put our hands in his and on his side. We saw his scars of love. And he even talked to us, Thomas. And do you know what he said? Do you know what he said? "Peace be with you." Not once, Thomas, but twice. "Peace be with you." He wasn't mad at us, Thomas. He wasn't mad at all, even after what we had done, how we had abandoned him and ran away and left him alone and fell asleep while he was praying. He wasn't mad at all, Thomas. "No, peace be with you," he said. And he talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness, Thomas. It's as if he had forgotten all our failures. But Thomas, he had not forgotten us. "Yeah, right," Thomas says. "And I suppose the Easter Bunny showed up too while I was gone." Of course, back then there wasn't an Easter Bunny, but that's the point. For Thomas, the thought of Jesus showing up being alive was as absurd as a bunny with eggs. It was all a cruel joke. And Thomas wasn't going to fall for it. Jesus was dead and buried. He had seen it with his own eyes. And the sooner that he and others got back to reality and got back to their old lives and their daily routines, well, the better off they would all be. Ever feel like Thomas? Maybe just wish the crazy, impossible truth of Easter would pass you by so you could just get back to your regular routines of life and worry about the concrete things of life in this world and live life like everybody else. Not have to worry. Or maybe, yes, go back to having to worry. Maybe it would be so much easier to dismiss the life-changing news that Jesus is alive and that he has come to you and he has sent you into this world with a purpose to live and share his good news. And that he has called you to forgive. Forgive even people who you would call your enemies. And that he has filled you with the Holy Spirit. and given you the breath of God in your soul? Oh, yes, it would be so much easier to just pretend all that wasn't true and to get back to our daily routines and go on living in the world like everyone else. And so back to poor Thomas. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday go by, and the week wears on. Thomas wondered perhaps how long the others were going to keep up this cruel joke, telling him that Jesus was alive. Maybe by Thursday or so, Thomas began to wonder if it actually could be true. Because the 10 others, you see, they had changed. Something was different about them. Something had to have happened. But if it were true, at least they had heard and seen Jesus. Had Jesus forgotten him? Had Jesus forgotten him? What about you? Ever wonder if Jesus might have forgotten you? By the Sunday after Easter, it wouldn't be surprising if Thomas had just given up on the whole thing. But here's the thing. There is always something special about Sundays. Ever thought about that? And there on the Sunday after Easter, Jesus shows up again to let Thomas know that he was not forgotten. And on Sunday, every Sunday, still 2,000 years later, Jesus shows up here inside these walls, and walls like it across the planet. And Jesus shows up for a purpose, to let us know that he has not forgotten any one of us either. Yes, Jesus is with us every day, just as he promised. But sometimes amidst all the stress and daily routines of life, we can miss out and forget that Jesus is there. And so he promises that he will come to us on Sunday, the day of his resurrection, in a very special way. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is fully present in a way unlike any other time or place in the world. And he is fully present, just as he promised in the bread and the wine, in that meal of grace and love that we can get and receive in no other place. A meal that Lena will share with us today for the first time. And Jesus appears here on this day, the first day of the week, on Sunday, in this inexplicable way to be with you in this sacred space and to speak to you his words of peace, that peace which the world cannot give, and to speak to you those words of forgiveness, the forgiveness which only God's love can give. Every Sunday when you walk up toward the cross and you kneel at these rails and you hold your hands out in the shape of a cross, you receive the presence of Jesus to come into the locked rooms of our own fear and doubt and to open those rooms to know that we are loved and that we have been called to share that love of God with the world. They say with age, your memory starts to go. And so I walk into rooms and I always forget why I came into that room. But you know, as old as Jesus is, as old as time itself and even older, Jesus' memory never fails. And every time Jesus comes into this room on his day, the Lord's day as he promised, he never forgets why he came here. He comes to this place for you. He comes to this place to offer something which cannot be found in the world, to offer that gift of peace. Peace in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And to speak to us about forgiveness. And to remind us that he has sent us into the world just as God sent him to us. And Jesus comes here on Sunday to spend a little one-on-one time with you. Just as he did with Thomas. And with that bread in your hands, he reminds you of the wounds in his side and the wounds in his feet and his hands. He reminds you of all that he has given for you on that cross. And so what more can we do than what Thomas himself did? We fall on our knees and open our hearts to this amazing, amazing Lord. And shout, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. Say it with me. Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. And so it is. May we say it not only on Sunday, but may we live it every day. Live this amazing truth of Easter. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.